Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the aspect of our aqaid, beliefs regarding the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Number one, whichever Muslim has seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and passed away as a Muslim is referred to as a Sahabi. The companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a great honor. In this ummah, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum enjoy the highest rank, even if they only saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a moment. The greatest of all the pious people who came after them can never be equal to the lowest amongst them. Number two, many virtues in the Quran and the Hadith have been narrated regarding them. All the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were trustworthy, perfect believers, and will go to Jannah. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen Anbiya alayhi salam, He chose the most choices of His Ummah to be in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number three, the most virtuous amongst them are as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He succeeded Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and was chosen as the first Khalifa unanimously by all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He is referred to as the first Khalifa. He is the most superior person in this Ummah. Then is Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, who was the second Khalifa. He was followed by Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, who was the third Khalifa. And he was succeeded by Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, who was the fourth Khalifa. They are followed by the remaining six of those ten who were promised Jannah in one hadith. That is Talha radiallahu anhu, Zubair radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Waqas radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu. They are followed by the participants in Badr, the participants in of Uhud, the participants in Hudaybiyah, those who accepted Islam before the conquest of Makkah, and then those who accepted Islam after the conquest of Makkah. Shall we continue tomorrow? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الحمد لله the 12 juz was recited in the Taraweeh Salam. In the very first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings to our attention with regards to sustenance. May Allah says, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا, that not a creature that's living on the earth except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility of providing sustenance and risk for all the creatures, be it human beings, be the insects, be the animals, the birds, the creation of Allah that is in the oceans, each and everything that which has life, Allah has taken it upon Himself to provide sustenance. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam even mentioned the hadith, "Ala wa inna nafsan lan tamuta hatta tastawfiya rizqa." That behold, that no soul shall pass away until unless it consumes all its sustenance. Every person's risk is already ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the child was in the womb of the mother after 4 months, then one of the things that was recorded for the child, that how much risk that child will get, and not a morsel more, a morsel less, not a grain more or less will he eat. Everything has been ordained. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ. Allah mentions that in the heavens all the risk of yours is there and ordained for Allah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا تُوعَدُونَ, and everything you'll get accordingly. And also in another ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, similar ayat, وَكَأَيِّ مِنْ دَابَةِ لَا تَحْمُنُ رِزْقَهَا اللَّهُ يَرْزُقُهَا, that there is no creature except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon Himself to provide. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person should understand with regards to risk as well, that Allah has taken the responsibility of fulfilling the needs of man but not the greeds of man. That Allah has given us that a person great from the sustenance, that a person is able to fulfill his needs, and this does not mean now a person becomes so greedy and he keeps on now asking for more and more. Whatever is allotted for him, he will get from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sustenance seeks a person, just like debt seeks a person, just similarly with regards to our sustenance, that thing will come. And also, it's mentioned in a hadith that there are certain actions, because of a person does it, then he will be deprived of sustenance. Where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّ الْأَبْدَ لَيُحْرَمُ رِزْقٌ, bidhambihi yusibuhu, or kama qal, that a person is deprived sometimes of his sustenance because of the sins that he does. On the other hand, Allah gives testimony and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives guarantee that وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرَزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْسُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. When it comes to sustain that person who adopts taqwa, who stays away from haram, Allah opens doors and avenues for him from sustenance of where he didn't even think where that he will come from. So this is something very, very important. Thereafter, in the end of this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, that Allah has created you and He will test you that who amongst you is the best with regards to actions. So also here a person understand Allah wants to look at the beauty of your actions. Is that is quality, not quantity. Allah in so many in the dua that we normally recite after the faras salam, Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadati. Oh Allah, assist us that we make your zikr, your shukr, and we execute those actions which constitutes a beauty. And how to get this beauty, the ulama explain that two things are very, very important. One is sincerity, ikhlas. A person should do everything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will become very, very weighty in all the scales of good deeds. Secondly, that it should conform to the teachings of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, to the Quran and the Sunnah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without these two qualities, without sincerity, and without that being conformity to the Sunnah and the Quran and the Sharia, then these actions become very, very deficient. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many verses of the Quran al-Kareem with regards to those people that were destroyed because of their gunas. فَقُلَّنْ أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ. Allah says to each and everyone, we destroyed and we took them to task because on account of their sins. The kisahs and stories are mentioned of Yazir Nuh alayhi salam, the people of Ad, Thamud, Madian, Lut, etc. And these nations where Allah destroyed them because of their disobedience, and they turn away from the teachings of the respective Anbiya alayhi salam. Allah mentioned, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, that we did not wrong them in the least, but they themselves have wronged themselves because of the gunas. So very briefly, that these people were destroyed. For example, the people of Nuh alayhi salam were destroyed by floods. The people of Shu'ib alayhi salatu wasalam were destroyed by an earthquake. The people of Ad, that they were destroyed by a very fierce and strong wind that for 7 days and 8 nights this continued till they were destroyed. The people of Thamud, they were taken and gripped with a very, very loud scream from above, a terrible scream, a loud scream from above. And the people of Lut alayhi salam, where they are involved in homosexuality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the entire city to be turned upside down. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even caused stones to rain down from the heavens. So in the end of all these verses, Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَى وَهِيَ ظَالِمًا. Such is the grasp of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He takes them to action because on account of their gunas. This surah also is Surah Al-Hud. And on one occasion, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu noticed few stands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which turned white and grey. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that what has caused you to your hairs to become grey and turn white. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the events mentioned in Surah Al-Hud, the severe punishments of the past nations, and that caused me to turn these hairs become white. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that is particular verse where Hazrat Abu Ali Sirri rahmatullahi alayhi said that once I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream, and I asked him about which verse had caused you some difficulty in caused your hair to become white. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem that فَاسْتَقِيمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَأَكَ وَلَا تَدْغَوْ. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he remains steadfast, that stands straight without tilting in either way, and to be steadfast, to be on a straight path in all actions of deen, in all branches of deen. For example, once aqaid, ibadat, mu'amalat, mu'asharat, In other words, one's beliefs, one's character, one's social dealings, his monetary dealings, one's ibadat and worshiping of Allah. Every aspect has to be strained in accordance to the Sharia. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this fear. What fear did he have? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this fear whether he was complying with the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfectly. And who can be more perfect than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But also at the same time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the fikr, وَمَنْ تَابَ مَأَكَ, that those people who follow you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they also should remain steadfast. Like one person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, grant me some advice that I don't have to ask anyone else in future. That some advice which is comprehensive. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ, that say, I believe in Allah. In other words, believe in everything that Allah has revealed, and then after some mustaqim, that remains steadfast. So this was an ayat of the Quran al-Kareem that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person should remain steadfast and those who follow you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, وَلَا تَدْغَوْ, not only that, وَلَا تَدْغَوْ, that a opposite of istiqamat, that a person should not waver, should not commit any excess, what we call ghulu. He should not cross the limits. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارُ, that do not even incline to those people, the sinners, lest the fire of hell touches you. And Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said that the entire Sharia in this ayat of the Quran al-Kareem has been encompassed between the two laws. Which is the two laws? وَلَا تَدْغَوْا and وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا. This is the crux of Sharia. That there should be no ghulu, no excess. That a person should remain steadfast and with moderation, etc. And also he should not incline to the wrongdoers, because a person in that way is asking for problems. And Qadi Baydawi rahmatullahi mentions, what is tarkanu? That milani yaseed, a little inclination towards the people. For example, our enemies, that to incline towards them with regards to their thoughts, their mannerisms, their ideologies, their fashion, their way of speaking, and in every aspect of their life, that we should not incline, because Allah has given us a perfect deen. Allah has completed this deen, and not only completed it, He has perfected it for us. So a person should become very, very wary of following the trends and the fashions of the times. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a very beautiful qissa and surah, which is Surah Al-Yusuf. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this entire surah, and in a very systematic manner and order. The name of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam has been mentioned in many other surahs, but the name only, but no reference has been made to his story, etc. But this entire surah has been revealed in a very systematic order, and that is why it is also known Ahsan al-Qasas, the best of stories. It is mentioned, the background of this surah, that the Jews came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that our regards to Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, why is it that he leave his hometown and went to settle in Egypt? Now understand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was living in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and he did not go out beyond the boundaries of Hijaz. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not go to any university. So this was a test to find out whether Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a true Nabi. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited to them Surah Yusuf and explained to them in detail the whole qissa of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam. This was a miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, to translate every ayat of this beautiful surah, and so many lessons to be learned, because of time constraint, we'll give a synopsis of and a brief account of the surah. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, in the beginning, he sees a dream in which he sees 11 stars, the sun and the moon prostrating to him. And when he relates this dream to Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, then Yaqub alayhi salam tells that, O my son, do not reveal this dream to any of your brothers. Why? Because they will plot against you. Also, there's Yusuf alayhi salam and bin Yameen. They were two sons of another wife, of another mother. The first wife of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, she had born 10 sons. And when she had passed away, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam married the sister of his wife. And from that marriage, Hazrat Yusuf and bin Yameen were born. So nevertheless, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam told him not to narrate it. And obviously, because being young, etc., and being influenced by his brothers, we come to know later on that Yusuf alayhi salam did inform them of this dream. And this caused them to become extremely jealous because of the love what Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam had for Yusuf alayhi salam. The commentators mentioned why he had so much of love. Why? Because he was very, very young, very handsome, and more important than that, he had good morals in him. He had good akhlaq. That is why Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam took a liking for him. So nevertheless, their 10 brothers had conspired to get rid of their brother Yusuf alayhi salam. They tried and they made suggestions, let us kill him, let us cast him into a deserted place or a distant land, etc. And then they, on a pretext of taking their Yusuf alayhi salam on a journey or so that they can graze the goats and also play, did ask, requested Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. So their father was very, very reluctant, and he said that I fear, first and foremost, إِنِّي لَيَحْزُنُنِي أَن تَذْهَبُ بِهِ, that first and foremost sending him will cause me a lot of grief because of my attachment to Yusuf alayhi salam. Yeah, they could not answer that. Then the second thing he said, that wa akhaf wa yaqulahu dhib, that I fear that a wolf might devour Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. Why, at that time in Qan'an, there were many, many wolves also. Also, a dream Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam had seen, that there were 10 wolves that had surrounded Yusuf alayhi salam, but one wolf came to the rescue. But this was another interpretation though with regards to the sons of Yaqub alayhi salam. Thereafter, when they persisted, he gave them permission. And then what had happened is, and they gave guarantee that we are a large jamaat, and we are there to protect him, nothing or no harm will come to him. Then the opportunity came when he was sent with them, and they got rid of him, and the eldest of the brothers, the person by the name of Yahuda, came to his rescue, to his defense, and he protected Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. Then what happened? All the 9 brothers ganged up and threatened the eldest brother Yahuda, and he said, if you don't get rid of Yusuf, we'll get rid of you as well. Eventually they cast him into the well. And thereafter, the kisah is mentioned, they came home with false tears, crying to Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, making excuses that we were racing with one another, and Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam had been placed in charge of our goods, and unfortunately a wolf came and devoured him. All obviously these were all lies. And they made up the story, and they even brought his shirt smeared with blood, false blood. And when they presented it to Yusuf alayhi, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, he asked them very astonishingly, that very ajeeb, very strange, that this shirt is intact, that there is blood on it, no problem, but it is not torn. This is something very, very surprising, because if anyone has to attack a person, then it will eventually cause that shirt or the clothing of his to be torn. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and inspires Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, and he says, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ, that this sabr, this patience is a very beautiful quality. وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ, that I seek assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of those things which are relating to me. Thereafter the qissa carries on, that a caravan was traveling and he needed some water, so a person was appointed to go to the well. And when he put down his bucket, and instead of water coming out, he found that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, so beautiful, so handsome, and he said that ghulam, that qala ya bushra hadha ghulam, glad tidings, this is a young boy. And previously it is mentioned that the eldest brother Yahuda used to go to the well and send food down in a bucket so that Yusuf alayhi salam could eat. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw to the protection of the Yusuf alayhi salam in that very well, in the darkness of that well. It is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who protected him. And thereafter, these people who took him into the caravan, they hid him so that the people do not come to know about him. When Yahuda now goes again and he finds out that Yusuf alayhi salam is not in a well, he informed the brothers. So now they pursue and they come to this caravan and ask of the whereabouts of Yusuf alayhi salam. And they said, yes, Yusuf alayhi salam is with us. So they said that he's our runaway slave, and we wanted to sell him, and they sold him for a very paltry sum, very small figure. The Mufassirin mentioned approximately about 20 dirhams. And then these travelers, the caravan, took him to Egypt, and over there they took him to the marketplace, and then they started selling him. So it is mentioned that the minister of Egypt, when he saw Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, he purchased him, and he told his wife that we honor this person, they make his ikram and look after him. Perhaps this person will be very, very valuable and will benefit us, and later on we can even adopt him as a child. So in this way, Allah's system had decreed that he had to go through all these, and as the story has a happy ending, so a person should understand that the difficulties will come, but after every difficulty there is ease. Innama al-usri yusra. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentions, we taught him the interpretation of dreams as well. And then when he came of age, and when he was granted knowledge of the things with regards to governmentship and becoming a minister, etc., those things, obviously he was in the home of the minister, and he taught him a lot of his expertise, etc. And when he came of age, he was very, very handsome. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the qissa, that how the wife of the minister tried to seduce him, and she had locked up all the doors, and she told that, "You come to me, fulfill my desires." And he had taqwa. It is mentioned also that there was a certain idol that this wife, she went and she put each other a cloth over him. And then Yusuf alayhi salam asked her, "Why are you doing this?" She says, "She feels ashamed that I'm going to do such a wrong act in front of this idol." So Allah, Yusuf alayhi salam said that your idol of yours cannot even see, cannot even talk, cannot benefit, cannot harm. Shouldn't I be more shameful for that being? That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows about my actions. So nevertheless, the qissa is mentioned that Yusuf alayhi salam, that he turned away his back and he started running. Yeah, a person should understand that fafirru ilallah, run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those doors that were locked became unlocked for Yusuf alayhi salam. And he said, "Ma'az Allah, innahu rabbi ahsan maswai." And he sought protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, "My Rabb," he had two meanings to be given. One is the Rabb, that is my master, that is your husband, was very good to me. How can I betray the trust? And the second one is my Rabb is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sought my upbringing. How can I do this in front of you? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Lawla arra'a burhana rabbi," that was it not for a proof that he saw, then he got engulfed in this wrong. What was that proof? It is mentioned he saw a vision of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam telling him not to get involved in this and stop it. And it is also mentioned that he looked up towards the ceiling and he saw the verse of the Quran al-Kareem, "Wala taqrabu zina innahu kana fahisha," that do not approach zina, do not even come close to zina. This is something very, very evil. Thereafter, when the doors were open, when they come out, and then they see that now the minister is over there. So how quickly the woman thing, and she immediately put the ball in his court, and she said, "Qalat ma jazaa'u man arada bi ahlika su'an illa ayyusjana wa adhabun aleem." And she tells the minister, "What is the punishment of that person who intends evil with your family, except that that person should be in prison?" Yeah, now imagine she is accusing Yusuf alayhi salam. Immediately Yusuf alayhi salam says, no, that is not the true story. "Qala hiya rawadatni an nafsi," that she is the one who enticed me and seduced me. "And wa shahida shahidun min ahliya," then a witness gave an account and mentioned few things. Who was this witness? It is mentioned there was an infant child. There are very few instances where children in the infancy spoke, and this was a miracle. And one was on occasion when Yusuf alayhi salam was accused of zina. Like how Maryam alayhi salam was accused, earlier Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Isa alayhi salam to speak and came to the defense of his mother. So this infant spoke and he said that, "See, if the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam, if he's torn from the front, then your wife is speaking the truth and he is speaking lies. And if it is torn from the back, then she is speaking lies and Yusuf alayhi salam is the truth. But when they found that was the real story, that the shirt was torn from the back, and she said that, in other words, Yusuf alayhi salam was truthful, and he said, قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنْ إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنْ عَظِيمٌ, that this is from their ploys and plots, and very great are their plots. Very interestingly, Allah mentioned with regards to shaitan, Allah mentioned, إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا, that the plots of shaitan are very, very weak. But when he came to woman, Allah said, إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ, their plots are very, very great. Yeah, also, it does not refer to all the women, it refers to those women who have bad intentions and have given the gift of the gab. At that precise moment, they know what to speak, how to trap people. So this, it refers to such people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thereafter tells Yusuf alayhi salam, the minister tells him, Yusuf a'ridan hadha, that turn away from this, and O you, my wife, wastaghfiri li dhammik, that make istighfar for your sin and what your even intentions. Thereafter it is mentioned, the woman got wind of what had happened and he started speaking. Some mentioned these are the women were the wives of the ministers. Or some mentioned that they were the wives or the woman in public started speaking, such a noble woman, that the wife of the minister getting caught up with a young child, how can this be? And when she heard of this, then she made a plan to prove to them the why did she fall for him. Then she called them, invited them, gave them each one a fruit in their hands and give a knife in each one's hands. And then she told Yusuf alayhi salam that ukhruj alayhim, now come out. And when they saw the beauty of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, that instead of cutting the fruit, they cut their hands. And he said, قُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ, that this is not a human being, this looks like a farishta. How handsome he was, what beauty he had. And yeah, also it is mentioned after that he feared that even these women also will fall in the trap of enticing him and seducing him. And even the wife of the minister said that if he does not correspond and he does not fulfill my desires, does not comply to my wishes, then he will be imprisoned. Yeah, Yusuf alayhi salam said that qala rabbi sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'una ilayya, that jail is more beloved to me than those things that you are enticing me and calling me towards. Thereafter he landed up in jail. The qissa continues where two people also went into jail, and one of them said, I saw in a dream that I was squeezing grapes so that alcohol or wine could be made. And the second person said, I saw in a dream that I was carrying bread on top of my head and birds were eating off it. So they asked for interpretation. Yeah, also a person understand, if a person sees a dream, shouldn't go to any Tom, Dick and Harry and ask for interpretation. Go to those people who have knowledge. Just on this note also, there is mention of Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi, who was the master and expert in giving interpretations. Two people come to him on different occasion. One person said, I dreamt I was giving azan. So he interpreted, this person, inshallah, will go for hajj. And when he recited the Quran al-Kareem, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, that this person will go for hajj, inshallah. Then another person came after some time, and he also dreamt that he was giving azan. And thereafter he said that you are a thief. And then he mentioned his ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, فَأَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّرٌ أَيَّتُ الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. So imagine two people dreaming the same thing, but according to the conditions, he gave a different interpretation. Nevertheless, continuing with this, that before Yusuf alayhi salam could give the interpretation, yeah, he found opportunity of giving him dawud, inviting them towards iman, etc. And thereafter he interpreted the dream, and he said that one of you, he did not say blatantly who was the person, and because he left it ambiguous, he didn't want to frighten the person. He said, one of you who had seen the dream, then obviously the person who was squeezing the grapes, he will become the cupbearer. And that person who saw bread on his head and birds eating from it, he will be crucified and birds will eat from his head. And this was how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed. Thereafter, when they were released, Yusuf alayhi salam told this one of them that Uthkurni in the Arabic, that mention my name before your master. But فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ, but shaitan made him forget, and he spent more time in jail. Thereafter, towards the end of the spara, the dream of the king is mentioned, where he sees in a dream that 7 lean cows are consuming 7 healthy cows, and he sees that there are corns over there. One is fresh corn of green, and they have ears of corn which are green, and one other corns which are very, very dry. And then this minister, now he was in a predicament, and he was confused. What is the interpretation of this? Then the minister realized, yes, there is one person in the jail. That is Yusuf alayhi salam. He knows the ta'wil and the meaning of this dream. And then he gives the interpretation. What is the interpretation? Very briefly, that 7 years they will enjoy good. They will harvest the crops, etc. Everything will be fine. And then the next 7 years there will be difficulty. Then he even gives a solution, and he tells them all the extra crops, all extra grains that should store it in the ears, so that no bacteria comes to that. And also he mentioned that do not become worried. Eat accordingly what you consume, what is necessary, store the rest. And thereafter the 7 years of difficulty, there will come a time when the crops will come up again. There will be abundance of rain, etc. And people will come to ask for assistance. And thereafter, towards the end, he sends a message to the king that asked those women what their ploys and plots were when they tried to seduce me. And then the truth manifested itself when the minister's wife said, "Ya, now al-an hasas al-haq, the truth has been revealed. Ana rawatu an nafsi, that I was the one who seduced him. And wa innahu la min as-sadiqin." So she proved innocence of Yusuf alayhi salam. And Allah mentioned, "Wa inna Allah la yahdi kayd al-kha'inin." Allah does not promote the evil plottings of those people who try to deceive people and try to cause harm to people. So after the end of the trial para, the story is mentioned, and inshallah tomorrow, if Allah give us the tawfiq, inshallah we will mention the remainder of the story. Allah give us the tawfiq of understanding, inshallah.